This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. This is the newest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Bink, we are now in the middle of October. We are now about midway point of the regular season. Here at about a month and a half is when we're going to see the wrapping up of the regular season, getting into championship week. And then after that, we're going to have bowl season and the college football playoff.
Yeah, we are, and it's going to be fun. I can't wait for the playoffs. I just think it's extended time to get more teams to evaluate because you're not going to have the guys opting out. We don't think so, opting out when they get into the college football playoffs.
But not as many, for sure.
We'll get an extended look at some of these guys, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, I love sitting around on Sunday watching the NFL and looking at those guys we were talking so much about last year and seeing what they're doing. And
really, the last couple of years,
the guy you really liked, Isaiah about. Garrido. I heard a lot of people say, "Well, who's San Francisco's down to just this Garrido guy or whatever?" It's like, hey, man, be careful, dude is actually a lot better than you think he is, and Shanahan could turn anybody in there, and Garrido.
Yeah,
he's third on their depth chart. But
Isaac
honestly,
Garrido had a big run on Thursday night against the Seahawks, and I was really, really happy for him.
Yeah, Garrido looked great.
That was a guy I really wanted the Chiefs to go get on day three.
I warned these guys, man. I said, Chris and I liked Garrido last year, yeah. Man. We were fans of Isaac Garrido, yeah. Man. He was one of those dudes we like watching, and hey. He ended up paying. As a matter of fact, a lot of the guys we mocked are having good years.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that we've talked about. Yeah, are starting to really pop off here. So I'm really excited about that.
I think kind of we're in the same boat we were last year. Wide receiver. We'll
certainly
start diving into those guys a lot more because the Chiefs need one. We know that.
Yeah, they need another one.
Listen, I like Xavier Worthy. Do I think he's gonna be number one ever? No, I mean. But he's fine.
I think he has a chance to be a number one.
He'll contribute to this team in a great way.
I think he's a good chance to be a number one. I think he's got the talent for it. It's just right now it's like
he's behind Rice.
And like not only that, but it's like here's the thing about it. I said at the beginning of the year he was gonna have a year similar like what Tyreek had in 2016.
Yeah.
His rookie year, he was like just over 600 yards, and he was a good weapon, but he hadn't taken that step yet. It wasn't until year two that he became that dude for the offense. And I think next year could be a year for Worthy to take that step, but it's like it's just a lot to ask a rookie to come in this system, in this situation, the way the teams are playing, two high, three high, so much now, like it's just so hard for him, to get him going the same way. So it's going to take some time, and It just makes sense to temper your expectations for him right now.
But I'll say this, man. When you look at the first round, I mean, this draft, I mean, good thing the Chiefs don't need a quarterback because I don't like the quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah, no.
The wide receivers, I love the wide receivers in this class. The running backs.
I love the running backs.
You will see more running backs drafted this year. I'm not saying in the first round, stuff like that. You'll see more running backs drafted this year than you've seen the last couple. Like Austin Jeanty from Boise State, he is going to be. I think he might go in the first round.
Jeanty might be a first round pick.
Yeah.
He might be like mid to late first round.
A dude is just incredible, man.
But yeah, I can see him getting some Bijan hype, especially if he like really kills it at like Combine Pro Day. Yeah, I'm really excited about this receiver class. I think this class, like, it's not as top heavy as last year's class, but I think it's deeper than last year's class. Like, I think round two, you can go get guys that will end up being like really strong producers. Like, this kind of reminds me of like what was it, the 14 class that like was real deep into like second, third round? Yeah. This kind of reminds me of that.
Hey, and I'll say this. Stay tuned for the 27 draft. Wide receivers. There's three freshmen, true freshmen out there.
Ryan Wingo, Ryan Williams, Jeremiah Smith. Yeah.
Jeremiah Smith may be good or better than Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, he's that good of a player as a true freshman. I mean, this guy's been unbelievable.
He's a freak.
And Ryan Wingo, obviously at Texas, he's going to be with Arch. And
yeah, I think Ryan Williams is the best out of the class. I mean, he's 17 years old and he's out here producing like one of the top receivers.
But it's down the road, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. There's a lot of really young talent out there.
I like this year's class though, so I'm not gonna
another guy to
and
look
the tight
for,
ends too. The tight ends are really deep this year, in my opinion.
Another guy to look for down the line, DJ Lagway at Florida.
Yep.
He's gonna be the starter there for Florida because Graham Mertz unfortunately went down with a torn ACL.
Unfortunately,
Lagway's guy who's got NFL talent. It's just a matter of does he showcase the skill to get there?
Can Napier save the job?
I mean, I'll say this. Lagway's the only one that's going to save Napier's job.
I thought he had
a
flight out, man.
Me too. I thought he was gone after that third game, but they decided to keep around for now.
And also, just news and notes. I'll get into it here in just a second. Torrey Horton, a guy that I really like at Colorado State, he's out for the year. So that sucks. I mean,
wide receiver for Colorado State.
Wide receiver for him is a guy that I really liked. Followed him a lot last year. Talked about this year, but he's out for the year this year. Colorado State. Said that. So, you know, you might hopefully see him at the combine, hopefully the Senior Bowl, things like that, but he's out for the rest of the year, and that sucks because I really like him. Could he have moved into the second round, top of the third? Possibly. I still think he's a, you know, third round pick at least at this point because he's a solid player. I was disappointed to see that news.
So, getting into our recap here, starting with K-State, who took on Colorado, late night game, Big 12 after dark. You had DJ Giddens, who broke out, probably had his best game of the season, 25 carries, 182 yards. He also had two catches for 38 yards.
And the best thing about this was, as I was saying, Colorado's defense has been a lot better. I mean, since they brought in Rob Livingston to be the defensive coordinator from Cincinnati, they had not allowed a 100-yard rusher all year. That's very un-Colorado.
They also haven't played a lot of great running teams.
But UCF is. I mean, UCF was going
UCF
three
was before, but they haven't been playing well since
but
then.
DJ Giddens.
Like, UCF played terrible against Florida last year.
Hey, he made some moves. He can, I mean, we're talking, could he move into a top three running back? He's not going to pass Genty. There's no way he's going to do that. And Keyshawn Junkins, I really like too. But DJ Giddens, the movement he's doing in the open field, I mean, he's positioning himself well for the next level.
He might be able to sneak into the top five running backs, but, like, I mean, this is a really good running back class, so I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. But
it's the best I've seen since we've been doing the show.
Me too. Me too, by far. Like, there's, like, legitimately probably, like, 5 to 7 guys that can go D2. And then Shedeur Sanders, 34 for 40, 388, 3 touchdowns and a pick. Again, he's putting up good numbers. I mean, he went out there and he put up good numbers against a much better K-State defense who's been playing a lot better here the last month.
He started to get blocking.
So.
And here's the deal. All the pressure once again went on him. So I'll say this about Shedeur. You know, I got my questions about Shedeur, but I will say this. His toughness is there because the guy gets planted all the time, and he has been sacked a million times the last couple of years.
He's hit a lot.
But they had minus 29 yards rushing against Kansas State. I have not seen that in the box court in the longest time. So that means all that pressure was on him, and he was without Jimmy Horn, who left in the second quarter, a guy that's probably going to be a mid-round draft pick at wide receiver, and Travis Hunter, arguably the top player in college football, was out in the first half. So he had his two big weapons out and absolutely no running game and hung in there with K-State till the end.
No, he never really has a running game usually.
Well, they started to have one the last couple of weeks. That's the one thing about Keith.
Like, yeah, but they usually don't. And like when they start playing the better teams in the Big 12, they won't.
Well, they miss Dylan Edwards.
Yeah. They won't have a running game. Tight end Gunnar Helm for Texas, your guy. Five catches, 91 yards, and a touchdown against the OU. They beat the hell out of OU this week.
Which is funny one thing about Gunnar Helm is, and the thing I noticed watching, I was watching a lot of Gunnar Helm as I have this year. Beforehand, he was not showing up on anything, like draft buzz or anything, like in the tight ends.
No,
and now a lot of people, analysts have him as their eighth best tight end now. You see him gradually start to creep in to all these lists. But his athleticism is off the charts, man. The guy is just an absolutely tremendous blocker, but he makes these athletic catches. I'm talking going up in the air and catching them. But Gunnar Helm, I think he's going to be an outstanding player at the next level, but just add him in here. We'll get to some other great tight end performances. But I've been blown away with Gunnar Helm. He's been a true weapon for Texas.
Very Kittle-like with the skill set there. I like what
Extremely
I see from
him. Extremely athletic.
He's someone that, like...
Great hands.
Once we start to see more of him later in the season, especially like in the playoff, He could work his way into like top five for tight ends.
He could.
He could work his way into like a day two pick.
But I told you, man, the first game I watched at Texas, like, I like this kid, man. And then I watched him a lot this last game and just looked at all the athleticism he had. And this is when Quinn Ewers was struggling a bit in that first half against Oklahoma. But, you know, Oklahoma's defense still salty. And Gunnar Helm was, you know, ready.
Ohio State took on Oregon this past weekend. Travion Henderson, one of their running back duo there, the other one, Quinshon Judkins. Travion, he had himself a game, 10 carries for 87 yards. Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State had 10 receptions for 93 yards and a touchdown. On the other sideline, you had Dylan Gabriel, 23 of 34 for 341 yards. He also had two touchdowns. Evan Stewart had a breakout game. He had really kind of been outclassed a little bit by Tez Johnson for most of the year. But he had 7 catches, 149, and a touchdown. And then Tez Johnson also had 7 catches for 75 and a touchdown. If Evan Stewart can continue to kind of build off of this performance here, because I think he's lost. If we were doing like a money loser segment, he would be one of the first guys I would have put on there because I think he's lost some money here. I think he had a chance to like really solidify himself day two, but I think he's probably at day three right now. Yeah. But I think performances like this might bump him back.
And I think Egbuka is in the first round at this point.
I think it's very possible, like mid to late first.
And the reason we talk about these running backs is because I feel the Chiefs are going to be in the market for one this year. I think it happens this year. You and we talked about Isaac Grindo just a minute ago, but I think this is the year the Chiefs understand the value.
Because
I can't see Kareem Hunt coming back next year. Clyde, you don't think it comes back next year. You know, they're going to need, and Pacheco, you know, obviously had the injuries, going to be on that final year of his contract. But I could definitely see the Chiefs drafting a mid-round running back this year. This is the year to do it.
Four or five, like round four or five, I could see that, yeah. I definitely think that's – we talked about it fourth round this past draft.
They have going two third-rounders, and they didn't trade one on the day. And we do record this on Tuesday because the Devontae Adams and Amari Cooper, the Chiefs have two third-rounders this year, which is interesting to me because you're talking a loaded tight end class. – It's simple. You got to start thinking about Kelce and, you know, his retirement or whenever it's going to happen. Jared Wiley, Noah Gray, look, I don't see the first round or number one tight end out of those guys at this point. Great number twos. Number one.
I don't know if the Chiefs are going to find a replacement for Kelce.
It's impossible to say that. Well, I'm just talking really like, athletic tight end that can
right,
make
but
the great
like,
catch.
My point, though, is like the way that they use Kelce, I think they're starting to transition Rashi into that role. Yeah. Like before,
a lot of times they do.
Before Kelce started popping off in the Chargers game after Rashi got hurt, Rashi was running the same kind of routes, aligning in the same spots that Kelce normally does. And so I kind of feel like that's where they are. And that's the reason why I think you get another outside receiver. Now you're able to let Rashi do what Kelce was doing. And then when Kelce, you know, ends up retiring, you've got your next, you know, Kelce type in the offense, the role that Kelce plays.
And I think, you know, Wiley's fine because, I mean, he's better than the Blake Bell situation. You know, so you have a guy that can get in there and block and can make – he's got good hands. So if you have to resort to throwing your third tight end this week, we saw the Chiefs do the 14 personnel because they brought back Jody Fulton.
Jody got some usage. They
had some 14 personnel in this game because not many teams carry four tight ends, but the Chiefs had four tight ends active.
So moving on to Penn State. Penn State, some good performances there. Drew Aller threw three picks, but he did throw for almost 400 yards, two touchdowns. Tight end Tyler Warren, man. This is a guy I've heard getting some hype here for the last like two or three weeks. You know, obviously we've been given a lot of like Colston Loveland and whatnot. And Gunnar Helm, but man, Tyler Warren really balled out. 17 catches, 224 yards and a touchdown. There are receivers right now in college that don't have that stat line on the season.
I think he just went for the number one tight end role.
Let alone as a in one game.
His ability to create separation and run routes. Did you see the trick play he ran?
Yeah.
So they run that swinging gate. He comes, and he was the center. So he snaps the football, and he goes out and catches a touchdown pass on it. He just showed his versatility, the things he can do, but it's blown away. That's one of the best tight end performances I've ever seen.
Yeah, you don't see like that in at the collegiate level. You don't see that very
often. And USC's defense has gotten better this year, don't they, Lynn?
Yeah, you just don't see that. And then Abdul Carter got another sack, edge rusher for Penn State. That's a guy I think first round for sure as an edge rusher. Like from a physical standpoint, like very Will Anderson like. This guy is for sure going to be a first round pick there at the edge. Carson Beck for Georgia, 36 of 48, 459, three touchdowns, two picks. The picks you were a little worried about, but you know, he's putting up the numbers in the passing game. For Alabama, Jeremy Bernard, wide receiver there, four catches, 89 yards and a touchdown. And then Damani Jackson, cornerback for them, also he had a pick in that in Alabama's game this weekend. For Ole Miss, Jackson Dart, 24-42. 284 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Bit of a down performance for him than what he normally does. And also, like, a lot of these guys are throwing a lot of interceptions. And then Trey Harris, who I think is very much playing himself into the first round as a wide receiver. Seven catches, 102 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, Trey Harris is climbing those charts.
I think so. I think, like, a Juice, I think, is probably going to be a late second day pick. But Trey, I think, is solidifying himself mid to late first
right
round.
Now, Tedaro McMillan's putting himself number one. You know, even had guys like I've seen Luther Burden now a third and fourth receiver now. I mean, I'm not buying that, but
I still think Travis Hunter's number one, and then I think Luther goes after him, and then I think Tedaro McMillan goes there just because like Burden is he's very Jamar Chase like after the catch, and so I think that gives him an advantage, especially in today's league.
Runs great jet sweeps and stuff like that. You saw like him run that touch him.
Like to me, he screams Jamar Chase.
Yeah, do a lot of that stuff.
Yeah,
and he'd actually do well in Andy Reid's offense.
Oh,
man.
He would be. Oh my god.
I mean, Andy Reid would
somehow.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Failed
he would. Andy Reid would have some stuff for Luther Burden.
No, yeah, he would, because he would look at him the same way he looked at J-Mac, and I think he'd be incredibly excited. Mm-hmm. Jake Brennenstuhl, tight end for Clemson, he had seven receptions for 104 yards and a touchdown. He also had my guy Joshine Davis, the edge rusher for Wake Forest. He had half a sack in that game.
Yep.
I think he's a good fit for the Chiefs. Tedaro McMillan, as you just brought up, five catches for 78. Ashton Jeanty for Boise State, 31 carries, 217 yards, a rushing touchdown. He had three catches for 20 yards and a receiving touchdown.
And the Heisman favorite at this point. I will say this. I saw someone on Twitter say, well, it was an NFL fan talking about needing the running back, and they were like, You know, I like this, but I don't know if he can catch. Because they showed his pass pro. I was watching all his pass pro. He's very good in pass protection, by the way.
He is. He's a little small, but he can pass.
If people are like, can he catch? I'm like, you kidding? Guy had 43 catches for 569 yards last year. I mean, yes, he can catch. They're not throwing to him as much as they should this year, but it's on tape for NFL teams because he did catch 43 for 569 last year.
He's also getting a ton of carries. And yeah. His yard per carry is like what is it got to be, like 8 or 9?
Well, last year he was sick running the ball, too. He had over 1,400 yards, and you'd think 569 receiving. Dude can catch.
Yeah, he could catch.
But he's doing it against good opponents. Because I understand Boise State's level of competition. They did play Oregon.
Yeah.
All right, and Oregon, I mean, we see he how good Oregon is. Oregon. Yes, he did.
He had like almost 200 rushing yards against Oregon. Yeah. No, they're good. Caleb Johnson, a guy who I think is a sleeper running back in this draft class.
God, the Senior Bowl loves him, and Jim Nagy and all those guys. He's just a junior at Iowa, but
tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
it's
tough.
An NFL back.
He's tough. He's an NFL back for sure. 21 carries for 166 yards, 2 touchdowns. Amari Hampton, who is one of my favorite guys in this draft class, a running back, 18 carries, 137 yards. Get him the hell out of UNC, because man, like that is a, he's his talents are kind of being wasted there because he's so good.
Agree.
And then Dane Key for Kentucky, 8 catches, 83 yards, and a touchdown. So,
they ran into a pesky Vanderbilt, man. I was, you know, Vanderbilt's starting to get some guys now that are getting some looks.
Yeah,
that Diego Pavia, that quarterback, I think, honestly, that's, you know, a third-day selection at this point. But that dude's – when you want to know what it factor for quarterbacks, Diego Pavia, who's the Conference USA Player of the Year, and then he transferred over to Vanderbilt, that's the big reason they beat Alabama and went into Kentucky and won. That's huge for Vanderbilt. Start watching that. And Eli Stowers, they're tied in. I absolutely love this guy.
So moving on to our rookie recap. Last couple games here we'll recap. Xavier Worthy has 6 receptions, 98 yards. He also has 3 total touchdowns, 2 receiving, 1 rushing. He's definitely a contributor on the offense. He is not breaking out like a star, which I don't think we expected this year. But one thing I do appreciate, and I do think that they'll continue to do this, Mahomes loves chucking it down the field to him. And it worked in the Chargers game. They got a deep touchdown. Longest air yards touchdown of Mahomes' career. Then on top of that, you also got...
He keeps guys out of the box, too. That's a big thing for Worthy. Yeah, even when he's not making catch, he's still keeping that safety honest.
Yeah, and then also on top of that, you had a regular receiving touchdown. You had a rushing touchdown on like a jet sweep type play. Look, Xavier Worthy is definitely a weapon in this offense. The Chiefs could definitely use another weapon there in the receiving game with Rashee Rice being done for the year now. But, man, like, you definitely see it with Worthy.
Yeah.
There's definitely some potential down the road for him to be a star player.
My thing is just, man, just continue to find ways to get space. Because him, Xavier Worthy and Spath is ridiculous with that 4.21 speed.
Yeah, and you one of the things is not just speed. He's very smooth with the ball. Like, yeah. He kind of reminds me of, like, it was funny. I was watching a recap on YouTube of the Saints and Chiefs from 2012, one of the few games that the Chiefs actually won that year. And, like, it was awful. But, like, the one thing about it is, like, he kind of looks like Jamaal Charles when he's, like, running in traffic. He's, like, Jamaal just kind of, like, smoothly, like, glided through the defense, and he was tough to bring down because he just – he didn't even, like, always turn on the jets when he was around play. Yeah. He just knew, like, okay, let me find the right lane. He just smoothly glided through. That's how Xavier looks like when he's running. He's just very smooth, and he kind of just glides through the defense. So – you definitely see something there. It's just a matter of him getting used to playing NFL football and them, you know, getting him those opportunities. Mahomes has had some times where, like, he hasn't thrown the ball to him even though he was open down the field, just because I think Mahomes has some issues trusting his tackles, and I think Mahomes is just used to throwing it shorter and checking it down, that he's not always looking down the field. But there's times where he is, and he is throwing it down the field, and they've gotten some penalties for that have helped the offense. But I definitely think that they're going to try to turn that up a little bit more if they do get some more receiver help. Kingsley Suamataia, not a good year for him. He did go in the, was it the Chargers game? Because Wanya Morris got hurt for a little bit. And immediately after that, just got bull rushed right into Patrick Mahomes. Luckily, Mahomes was able to escape. But, I mean, he literally just got bull rushed by, I think it was Khalil Mack, straight into Patrick Mahomes. So, tough go for Suomata-ia.
No, it wasn't. Andy Reid was pretty bluntly honest about both of them, Kingsley and Wanya, this week in his press conference.
Yeah, it hasn't been great.
He's like, yeah, they're making some mistakes. Paraphrase, because they're making some mistakes. You know, they're not perfect. So he had some. He was kind of stirring there in Wanya. He wasn't ready to put praise at all on any of them.
Yeah, because he knows.
Either, yeah.
And we obviously, we can see it with Mahomes. Mahomes isn't quite trusty quite yet. And I get it. Like, I wouldn't either. So, but, you know, it's. I will say this. I do think Wanya has given some encouraging signs. Like, Wanya right now feels like Jawan Taylor. Like, not perfect. Not great or anything, but like, he's young. With Jawan, it's like, this is a second contract guy who's making these mistakes, you know, so that's a little concerning. But I feel like Wanya could very well be a guy who plays in the league. Once Kingsley Suomata-ia like kind of figures out left tackle, maybe Wanya moves over to right, and then you get Jawan out and you can kind of have your tackles for a little bit. But yeah, I mean,
Kingsley's got to pan out for him, man, because you think about the team, the salary cap, where they're at, they're going to give that contract forward to Trey Smith. I mean, Kingsley's a guy they definitely need to be the dude. Because they have so many needs in this year's coming
and
draft.
And that's the reason why, like, I was, like, I'm so glad he wasn't a first-round pick.
Yeah, because he wasn't worthy of that.
He wasn't, and, like, you watch the film, it was very obvious. Like, he's only played left tackle for one year.
Not saying 3 years, this year. You look back and say, well, you know, he's a first-round pick, but as of right now, no. But it doesn't mean he won't be. The guy's got athleticism off the chart.
But, like, yeah, like, at the time, he wasn't worth it. And, like, the big thing was, is if you watch the film when he was at BYU, this is a guy who was a right tackle that moved over to left. And, like, he had a few issues there, but you could see the athleticism. But it's going to take him some time to learn it. So, not time to freak out or anything. But, yeah, you definitely need him to pan out here next year. Carson Steele, nice story. He's been benched now. Kareem Hunt has been getting those carries because of that second fumble he had when they played the Chargers.
He kind of had that third one, but that... Because they were doing trick play, so going back there.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
But they're still going to use him. I mean, they're still going to use him in short yardage. Right, I definitely think they whenever they go fullback, because he is technically their fullback, he'll be in there.
Yeah, the only thing I'm concerned about for him is that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is about to be – he's about to start practicing.
His practice window open Tuesday.
And so it makes me think if they had a choice between Carson Steele and Clyde or Samaje – kind of feel like Carson Steele's the odd man out if they want to keep
Carson Steele on a lot of special teams.
They do, but like I mean, I don't know if they're keeping four running backs on the roster. I don't think they are. So I kind of feel like he's probably the casualty there. So questions become: how big a priority should the Chiefs be as far as getting a receiver this year and then in the draft next year? Because before I left my day job and came over here, a story came out, a little report came out from our guy, Pretty Ricky, who has been making a name for prognosticating picks, and he's been correct on a lot of them. He did say the Chiefs were going to draft Kingsley Suomata-ia. They did, just not in the first round, second round. He has been very accurate with a lot of things. He did say the Giants were looking at getting a quarterback, and they were. We found out on Hard Knocks offseason they were looking at potentially Drake May or J.J. McCarthy.
Well, he was all mad about the Brandon Ayuk because he had him going to the Steelers.
Yeah, and they almost did.
He almost did, to be honest with you. It kind of fell through at the last minute.
It was all over.
Yes, it was.
He was over. Fair so sure. I got to give him his props for that. Like, he gets like half a point for that because they were actually like agreed to a deal, but Ayuk ended up agreeing to a contract with the 49ers before the trade could come through. But Pretty Ricky was reported, supposedly, who we think is Pretty Ricky, possibly Pretty Ricky.
If we did a mock today, I'd still have wide receiver in the
first
round. Me
too. I would too. That the Chiefs are interested in trading for either Deontay Johnson, wide receiver for the Panthers, or Calvin Ridley, wide receiver for the Titans. Now the question becomes, which would you have and which one is the realistic move? I would much rather have Deontay Johnson. I think Deontay Johnson's a little bit younger. He just turned 28. Calvin Ridley's going to turn 30 in December. So age-wise, I'd rather have Deontay. But also, he's going to probably come cheaper because he's going to be a one-year rental because his contract's up after this year. And on top of that, I also think he's a better fit for what the Chiefs want to do.
I'd rather have DeAndre Hopkins if we're talking.
I don't want DeAndre Hopkins.
Because it's a one-year rental deal. DeAndre, and he's on his second year of his $26 million contract.
DeAndre Hopkins is a bad knee.
Here's the deal with Deontay. And I like Deontay Johnson. He does a lot of things. He's had a problem with drops in his past.
Yeah.
And that's been an issue with the Chiefs. Since 2021, they're number two in the NFL in drops. Yeah. That's been a problem. But he's kind of corrected that. But this year, he's got 29 catches, been targeted 55 times.
Right.
But it's hard to put a lot of blame on him dealing with the quarterback
Bryce
situation.
Young and Andy Dalton is his quarterback.
What he's dealing with. So, but I was more of a fan of Amari Cooper, which is going to the Bills, obviously. But you know who leads the NFL in drops this year? Nine. Amari Cooper. I think that's a byproduct to a bad quarterback play.
I don't think it was all quarterback play. I think he's 30 years old, so I think there's regression there. If I had my choice, like I said, I want Deontay. I just think Deontay's a better fit for what the Chiefs want. He's younger. Like, I know a lot of people, you know, infatuated DeAndre Hopkins. I think he tore his MCL like in July. I'm not interested in wide receiver with knee issues who's in his 30s. I'm good on that. Let me get the 28-year-old who seems like he's starting to hit his peak now.
On that Fans Football show this past week, I asked Dean and Hughes. I said, "What would you do?" I mean, he knows obviously played wide receiver with the Chiefs color analyst. And I said, "What would you do? Would you bring in Amari Cooper or whatever?" Yes, I mean he wouldn't have been opposed to that. But his point was, these guys that are on the practice squad that know the system, like Nico Remigio has a ring with the Chiefs because he's on the practice squad all last year. Justin Ross has two. And he was talking about the complexity of this offense. And you outweigh the good and the bad. Like, you outweigh the bringing a guy in, having to learn the system. Are you getting as much production of somebody that already is a lesser talent on your practice squad but knows the system? Like, where's the trade-off? And we all know the Chiefs and how much they like that familiarity.
My thing, though, is like if they were going to do that, they'd have done that already.
Yeah, I just think the draft's the way to go. So if it's anybody that comes in, a rental for a year, get them for a year, whatever,
yeah,
for the spring.
That's also the reason why I'm not in on Ridley.
I'm getting them through the draft,
Ridley's,
man.
Ridley's not a rental.
Because you're not paying that big-time wide receiver tax yet.
Yeah, like I'm not interested in Ridley just because the contract's not good. And even if, like, you end up having to eat, like, even if like the Titans end up having to eat some of that money, it's still not a good contract just because of the fact that you still have him for a few years, overpaying him.
Yeah,
and you probably have to spend more if the Titans eat a lot of that money on that contract.
Rashee Rice is not, you know, he's not obviously this is his second year and he's got a while to go on his contract and he doesn't have the fifth year option because he's a second round pick. But they're not going to sign him because he's going to make bank in the NFL, Rashee Rice.
Yeah, no. So, like, to me, I think in that scenario, it's like, to me, it's Deontay Johnson, or, I mean, I think MVS is probably going to be an option. Because
Darius Slayton is actually an option, too, with the Giants.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, but I definitely think your options are, they're probably going to bring in MVS at least on the practice squad, just because familiar with the system. I don't think they're promoting. If they were going to promote a receiver, they'd have done it. So I think MVS probably gets signed to the practice squad, and I think maybe they try to make a move for Deontay Johnson because it makes the most sense.
I think DeMarcus Robinson's in play, too.
Yeah, I think DeMarcus Robinson's also in play as well, probably a 6th, 7th rounder for him to
Puka's
the Rams.
Puka's coming back. We don't know. He's a little bit further. Cooper could play this
year. Puka's like 2 or 3 weeks away,
but
I think.
Cooper could play this week. So.
But yeah, Cooper, yeah. So I think your options are you probably trade, you know, look to try to trade for Deontay, and then you probably sign MVS to the practice squad. Maybe you trade for DeMarcus Robinson, but like that's probably it. I don't see a big deal. I didn't see Cooper. I definitely didn't think Cooper was going to happen because the age and whatnot and the price because other teams are going to try to get him. That just didn't make sense to me. So, but yeah, I do think college receiver is going to be like receivers are going to be a big option for them in the draft. I still kind of think defensive tackle first round because I think there's a lot of depth at receiver in the second round.
Receiver, tight end, or defensive line at this point?
Like, I would, like, it depends on what the valuation of these receivers is. If you're talking, because, like, I'm really high on guys like, I like Trey Harris. I like Alec Iemanza.
You've always liked Alec.
Oh, dude, I like Iemanza, man. That kid's the real deal. like guys like that, if you could go get, if especially because I think like right now, Aya Manor, I think is like a second round grade.
Xavier Restrepo is climbing.
I would really like Restrepo.
That could be
too.
A guy at the end of the first round, beginning of the second. To be honest,
yeah,
with you.
I could see him maybe even late second. We'll see how it goes. But like, I like Restrepo. I like Aya Manor. I like Trey Harris.
Evan Stewart.
Evan Stewart, I'm a little on because the production hasn't been there all throughout the year. But I think there's a lot of good options, like second, late first, second round. Like one of those two rounds, I think you got to go receiver for sure, just because you need that depth. Because we see what happened with the receiving core when you lose Rashi Rice. It hurts. So I think receiver's definitely going to be at or near the top of the list for the Chiefs in next year's draft. Again, which we kind of thought it might be a situation they should look at anyways, just for depth reasons because of the Rashi Rice suspension. I definitely think it's something you got to do. So moving on to moneymakers here, our guys that we feel like have made themselves some money here recently. I'm going to start with Penn State tight end Tyler Warren, as I just brought up earlier, 17 catches, 224 yards, a touchdown. He's been balling out here for the last 2-3 weeks. And now I think he's making a great case to be the top tight end in this draft class.
Here, Colson Loveland, but I would go Tyler Warren, to be honest with you. I think the guy's absolutely explosive, and he's big. He's 6'6".
Yeah.
He's 260 pounds. I mean, yeah, and moves fluid.
Yeah, I just think when you look at what teams are looking for today, where it's a lot more catch and run guys, make a guy miss, break a tackle, things like that, because everyone's playing too high, and so you're going to need to go underneath and try to get yards after the catch. A guy like him makes a lot of sense. Who's your first money maker?
I got to go Ashton Jeanty. I know he's playing Hawaii, but
this is like your third time you've put him on the list.
Well, I just enamored by this guy, man. He was like 9.9 yards. He's like a first down almost every time he carries it, but His draft stock continues to rise. That's the thing about it.
He might be putting himself in the first round.
Yeah, NFL scouts are watching that pass pro he has and just the way that he completely takes over a game. But as I mentioned, he had 569 yards receiving last year, 3 for 20 this year. The dude could catch, got the pay. He's all around back to me.
My second moneymaker is San Diego State edge rusher Trey White. Right now he leads the FBS in sacks with 11. He's had at least 2 sacks in 4 straight games this year. 4 out of 5 games, he's had at least 2 sacks. He right now is putting himself out there as a potential, probably a late second day, early third day pick as a guy that could end up being a rotational edge rusher. Continue to watch out for him, because I'll say this, because we see guys like this pretty regularly. They'll have nice little season, and then they go to the combine and they ball out. And then all of a sudden, all these scouts start watching their film back, and they start seeing the on-the-field stuff matching with what you see at, like, the Senior Bowl or the Combine, and then all of a sudden the guy gets taken way higher than anyone thought. Like, we kind of saw that with Braden Fisk last year. He killed it at the Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. He killed it at the Combine. Next thing, he was a second-round pick. Like, I kind of feel like this could be the case here with Trey White. So watch out for him. He's really productive right now.
Best edge since Cam Thomas out of San Diego State. Who's on the Chiefs part? Well, he's not on the Chiefs roster.
He's like the bottom end of the
roster. Once,
yeah. He's been inactive. Yeah. But yeah, like, watch out for this guy, because I could definitely see, especially if he tests really well Combine Pro Day and he looks really good at the Senior Bowl, this is a guy to look out for. Who is your second moneymaker?
Well, it would be Jeremiah Smith, that true freshman wide receiver. Dude, Ohio State. You know he's got a touchdown every single game this year? He's got 7 for Ohio State. Yeah. Would be him, but we got to wait a couple years. I'm going Gunnar Helm once again. Just the athleticism, 5 catches, the 91 yards, just a difference maker for Texas. Isaiah Bond, who many think could be a first-round wide receiver in this year's draft, left with an ankle injury, re-aggravated it. So obviously Ryan Wingo, you know, stepped up in that. I mean, they're missing A.D. Mitchell and Jatavion Sanders and Xavier Worthy from that team last year, and you need guys to step up, and Gunnar Helm is.
So moving on to our Week 8 watch list. Thursday night, you have Boston College taking on Virginia Tech. Guy to watch out for is Antoine Power Island, the edge rusher there. One of the better edge rushers in this draft class, very underrated too. This is a guy I think will probably be a second day guy, maybe late, you know, mid to late third round is kind of where I'm kind of feeling he goes. But I think he'd be a really good addition for a team looking to get some edge rush help. On Friday, you got Oregon taking on Purdue. Dylan Gabriel, Tez Johnson, Evan Stewart, the big trio there that they have on their offense.
Yeah, for Chiefs fans, Tez Johnson, Evan Stewart, watch those cats.
Yeah. Both tackles that they have on the offensive line, Josh Connerly, Ajani Cornelius. On the defensive line, you got Jamari Caldwell and Jordan Burch. Jordan Burch is a guy I like.
Yes, he is.
I think he's got some talent there. And then Jabbar Muhammad. The other Friday game to watch is Oklahoma State taking on BYU. Oklahoma State's got Ollie Gordon, who I think has seen his stock drop. He's probably out of my top five for running backs right now.
He went into the season as number one back, too.
He was.
Omari Hampton was right there. I'm not knocking Omari Hampton. I still think he's a top five back from North Carolina. But Ollie Gordon...
He's taking a hit.
He's taking a bit of it.
I think he could be a steal. And but, if the Chiefs were to draft him on like the third day,
nation's leading rusher last year, they're gonna take a look at him, especially at the combine, because I think Ollie might be
a little undervalued going into the draft just because the production isn't there. And then DeJon Stribling, the wide receiver they got there at Oklahoma State, I really like him as well. Probably a third day guy. Going on to Saturday, you got Miami taking on Louisville. Two guys you're going to watch out for there. Cam Ward, my favorite quarterback in this draft class, and Xavier Restrepo, one of my favorite receivers in this draft class.
I'm not wild about quarterbacks, but Cam Ward, I actually like him. I've liked him for a year.
Cam's the only guy I feel confident about in this draft
class. And watch wide receiver Xavier Restrepo. I mean, he's really climbing draft charts as far as wide receivers. He's so tough, physical, very cerebral player, and that's Cam Ward's guy.
Yeah, to me, he kind of feels like the Ricky Pearsall of the draft class, where like he kind of just comes out of nowhere and then is like a late first round guy possibly. But yeah, Cam Ward, like I like Shador's talent, but I don't like the attitude. I don't like the mentals there. But like I think he's incredibly talented. But Cam Ward's the guy I'm sure he's going to be really good in the NFL. Auburn takes on Mizzou. Guy you want to watch out for is Luther Burden, who I've compared to Jamar Chase a lot.
I think there's a couple too. Theo Weiss,
but I'm not sure he's even going
to
be.
He's looked as the top 15 to 20 receiver in the draft, but Nate Noel and Marcus Carroll, the running backs. Keep an eye on those guys for late 6th, 7th. Could be undrafted.
Probably undrafted.
Nate Noel, depends on what does the combine, could be a lot higher.
I think they're probably undrafted. South Carolina takes on OU. If Deion Burks plays, watch him.
If he plays.
He didn't play last week in the Red River rivalry, but Deion Burks is a guy I really like as well in that late first, second round. If the Chiefs could get him in the second round, I'd be really happy because I think he'd be excellent as a slot receiver. Danny Stutzman, linebacker, Desan McCullough, the other linebacker, and then Gentry Williams at corner. Alabama takes on Tennessee, and you got Jeremy Bernard, who has, I was going to take him off the list, but he's actually been productive the last two or three weeks. Both guards on the offensive side, with Tyler Booker and Jaden Roberts, and then Jaheim Otis, defensive tackle, and Damani Jackson at corner. And then for Tennessee, you got Brew McCoy on the offensive, at wide receiver. And then you've got Javontez Spraggins, a guard for them. And then James Pierce, probably the best edge rusher in this draft class. Then you've got Notre Dame taking on Georgia Tech. Mitchell Evans, tight end for Notre Dame. I'm thinking of Michigan there. Defensive tackle Howard Cross III. I like him as a third day rotational three tech. Jack Kaiser at linebacker. Benjamin Morrison, who is one of the better corners in this draft class. Michigan takes on Illinois. Kalel Mullings, I think he could be a big sleeper at running back in this draft class. I really like the fact that he overtook Donovan Edwards as the running back.
I really like Donovan Edwards.
We both really liked him just because of the size and the explosiveness. But
it's kind of been a trend.
He's been incredibly inefficient, and you're really seeing that here again. Kalel Mullings just took his job. Straight up, Colston Loveland, I still think, is one of the better tight ends in this draft class. And then they got these two great defensive tackles, Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant.
Mason Graham's a definite first rounder.
He's probably a top 10 for sure. He's top 100%. 10. I think Kenneth Grant's probably in the 20s, you know, back end of the first round there. I really like him, though. I'd be cool if the Chiefs were to go grab him in the first. Josiah Stewart, Jayshon Barham, and Will Johnson as well. Will Johnson might be the best corner in this draft class. Houston takes on KU. I mean, you're going to watch for Devin Neal, obviously, at running back. Then you've got the corners, both corners that they got there, Kobe Bryant and Melo Dotson. USC takes on Maryland. Guy I'm looking for is Ty Felton, wide receiver there.
A little bit undersized, about 190, 6'2".
Yeah, like very productive.
He is very productive.
I think he's like top five in receiving yards in the country.
Top 10 receiver this year.
He's very good. He's a guy I think second, third round you're probably looking at. I'd be cool if the Chiefs took him there because I think he'd be a productive number two. Colorado takes on Arizona. Obviously, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, guys you're going to look out for. And then Tetero McMillan as well. This is going to be the battle between probably the three best receivers.
And Jimmy Horn is going to play again, mid-round selection at wide receiver from Colorado. Yeah. He'll be in there in the mix as well.
Texas A&M takes on Mississippi State. Moose Muhammad, I like him as a mid to late receiver for A&M. And then edge rusher Nick Scorton, who I almost took off. But he's been productive here lately, so I gotta keep him on the list.
I had him as my number one edge, and there's a couple situations in that going back to Missouri game where, you know, first and second down he wasn't in there.
No,
and it's kind of like he's situational passer.
He's more of a third down rusher.
Yeah, he is. And I like to see. I understand edges, and that's the role. But he's that's 4.5 sacks this year. I'm just saying. I want to see you in there more on first and second
down.
And
that's the reason why I'm not super high. And that's the reason why I kind of think he's probably early third day.
I mean, just being a situational pass rusher this early on, not a fan of that.
That's what I'm saying. Because like, I think the problem is he's not that great against the run. And I think that's the biggest issue. And that's the reason why I think he's probably a third day. Like, early third day pick. He can get you as a rotational guy, a Mike Dana type.
Well, I think he goes –
I think, like, when you look at him, it's like he's not – great enough against the run to be an every down guy off the edge there. But they also have Shamar Turner on the edge, and they have Will Lee, who I really like. I like him as a possible second day corner.
The Mr. Shutdown?
Yeah, he's real good. I like him a lot.
Isn't he the one that sent the blanket?
I think he did.
The blanket to was it Burden?
He sent
the blanket
to him? Yeah, I think he did, yeah.
they call him a blanket, don't they?
Yeah, he's real good. He's a guy I've been looking at. He's been one of the top corners here.
He's a talker, man.
He is a talker, which a lot of those DBs are because you kind of
have to. Was it him that sent that? I think it was, but I could be wrong. But I think he sent the blanket.
Yeah. LSU against Arkansas. They got two great tackles over there at LSU. Will Campbell, Emory Jones. Will Campbell's probably a top five pick.
Best left tackle in the draft this year.
You got Miles Frazier, a guard for them as well. And then you got linebacker Harold Perkins Jr. Then you've got – actually, Harold Perkins Jr. tore his ACL.
He's out.
Georgia takes on Texas. This is the biggest matchup of the week thus far. SEC matchup now. Carson Beck, you're going to be looking out for in this game. Could be a first-round quarterback, though I don't really feel that strongly about. I tried to convince myself that Carson Beck is a first-round quarterback, and then every time I watch him, I'm like, nah. Like, I could see a team reaching for him, kind of like you saw like Bo Nix get reached on by the Broncos.
Hey, this is anybody's game, man. I'm waiting for quarterbacks to step up.
I'm not seeing it from Carson Beck. They got two guards there, Tate Ratledge and Dylan Fairchild. They also have two good edge rushers with Mykael Williams and Jalen Walker. Smail Mondon Jr., good linebacker there. And then the opposite end, you got Quinn Ewers at quarterback. His first-round draft stock, I don't know about that.
Due to the supply and demand, he might be in there.
He might be in there still.
Supply and demand. Everybody wants quarterbacks.
I didn't think he was a first round quarterback last year, which is the reason why I thought it was a good idea for him to stay. And I do not think he's a first round. He was not a guy I would draft in the first round this year. The only two quarterbacks I would even think of drafting in the first round are Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. So I think Shedeur Sanders has the talent to play in the NFL and be a good quarterback. I just don't know if he has the mindset. And then I think Cam has all the tools to be a very good quarterback in the league.
He's the best of the bunch.
Outside of that, I'm not high on any of these. Carson Beck, Quinn Ewers, Drew Aller, none of these guys. I don't like any of them. Like, to me, they just look like quarterbacks.
That's why Ashton Jeanthe's moved up the Heisman charts.
You don't have a quarterback. Yeah. To be honest, I wouldn't be shocked if we saw like a couple of running backs go in the first round just because of how bad the
receivers are. You're not going to be talking quarterbacks this year. It's going to be Travis Hunter. It's going to be
the quarterback situation being what it is. I think it's going to be a lot of linemen. I think it's going to be a lot of wide receivers. And I think you might see a couple running backs go later in the first round just because of the lack of because we didn't get to talk about this. But Jim Nagy did put out a tweet, what was it, 2 weeks ago, where he said that there's not that many teams that have like more than like 10 first round worthy play. And again, It's early. We're like halfway through the regular season. There could be some players that surge here through the rest of this month and next month and then build their way up. But like right now, I agree with that. I don't feel like there's, like I said, I think there's only two first round worthy quarterbacks. I think there's a lot of good receivers. I like this receiver class a lot. I don't think it's quite as top heavy overall as like last year's. But it's still really strong.
He likes Caleb Johnson, that running back of Iowa, a lot.
Oh, I love Caleb.
Juniors can play in the Senior Bowl.
Right. Johnson. Yeah, I love Caleb.
They can get rid of the name Senior Bowl.
Yeah, I love Caleb. But yeah, like I just, so I look at, we look at this list and it's like, there's not a lot of guys here that I'm like, this is a first round for sure. But yeah, Georgia, Texas should have some few. Isaiah Bond could be a first round pick. I really like him. If he plays, I know he's hurt right now. We don't really have a whole lot of details about his health. But if he does play, he's got to watch out for, because he's one of my favorite receivers in this draft class. Like, if I had to take a pick right now who I would want the Chiefs to take if they were to go first-round wide receiver, of the guys I think will be available options, I think Isaiah Bond would be my guy, just because I think in the slot, he'd be a killer. Like, he would be what I think the Chiefs hoped Mecole Hardman would be as a slot receiver. Like, I think he'd be great as a gadget guy. I think he'd be great. Like, and every now and then they line him up as a running back. Like, dude, I love Isaiah Bond. So I'd be really happy if they were to go get him. I think he's an actual first round talent.
Or Restrepo.
I like Restrepo. Kind of, I like Trey Harris. Trey Harris, I think, would be excellent on the outside if they were to continue to have Rashi play at slot. Yeah, like there, I think there's a lot of good options there. Tight end Gunnar Helm, another guy that to look out for. Your guy.
It's fun to watch.
Kelvin Banks at tackle. And then you got Alf Collins at defensive tackle. Moving over to K-State, taking on West Virginia, running back DJ Giddens, who really broke out last week against Colorado. Iowa taking on Michigan State. You got Caleb Johnson running back there. Florida takes on Kentucky. Dane Key, wide receiver for Kentucky.
Berrian Brown, too, for him.
Berrian Brown hasn't been super productive.
No, 20 catches this year.
Yeah, he hasn't been super productive, but Dane Key really has been breaking out. He had a big breakout game against Ole Miss a couple weeks ago. Then Deion Walker, probably a second-best defensive tackle in his draft class. And then Southern Methodist takes on Stanford. Wide receiver, Alec Ayo Manor, man. I love that kid.
Ayo Manor makes contested catches better than probably anybody outside of Tedder Owen Miller.
Yeah, the only receiver there's only two receivers I've seen that I think are better at contested catches. I think Travis Hunter is better at contested catches because, I mean, dude, that catch he made, what was it, against North Dakota State or whatever? Like, just incredible.
And I am curious about Alec's speed. I am curious about the speed.
I don't think he's super fast. I think he's probably a 4.4, 4.5 guy.
Which is fine.
Because, like, I don't think that's what they need him for.
Because DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, these guys are in, like, 4.5. Right. So,
like, to me, I think he is more along the, like, you would want him to be more along the lines of what, like, Sammy Watkins was.
Very physical guy.
Physical. He can catch it in traffic. He's got some good wheels on him. He's good after the catch. It's just like, I don't think he's a speedster. Yeah. And I don't think he needs to be a speedster. Because I think you got that guy in Worthy. I think now you want to go get the other guy that could be a complimentary piece and can make those tough catches. And in today's NFL, where a lot of guys are, you know, a lot of teams now are playing tighter coverage and they're running all sorts of different kind of match schemes and whatnot and forcing you to go short. I think Ayo Manor really, really fits with,
well,
with
the team. The guy you like too, Isaiah Bond. Keep in mind, Andy Reid, they took Steve Sarkisian's.
Right.
Like, they took a lot of his advice when it came to Xavier Worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaiah Bond obviously didn't play with Xavier because he transferred in from Alabama.
Yeah.
But they've been linked as very similar type of
players. They're both very similar types. I think Isaiah Bond, I don't think he's got the straight line speed. I think he's probably what? Maybe a high 4.3 guy, like a 4.38 guy.
Like, somehow,
which is good.
I think Hollywood Brown comes back for another year, too. So you're going to have kind
it's
of
very,
two
it's
of
very
the same
possible.
Type of guys.
It's very possible.
I think him being out this year definitely opens up the window for maybe a 1 year cheaper deal. So.
Very possible. But I think we both agree, still probably want to take another receiver high because, you know, 1 year
man,
solution there.
Yeah, you get Mahomes stuff, man. You're never going to have a quarterback this good again.
Yeah.
You just never are.
Never.
So. Get him.
Take advantage of him. Win as many rings as you can.
Don't make him go into games with Justin Watson and Juju and these guys. Man, come on, man.
I here's one thing I will say, though.
He's doing it. He's getting the job done. But I'm just saying, just give the Ferrari some gas.
I do think Juju's going to surprise some people this year, though. Because I think Juju, like the role that Rashee Rice is playing, that's what Juju was doing a couple years ago. And I think what Juju did against the Saints, I could see, not every game, but I could see him doing that a few more times down the road.
Well, the one thing about it is he'll start getting more attention. The Saints left him unguarded a lot.
Right.
Matter of fact, there was many times in the zone where he was wide open.
Right.
And it's like, there's a lot of receivers that make this play that Juju just did.
Yeah.
But then he had the drop. Like, he had the drop in the end zone that should have been a touchdown. Mm-hmm. It's those things that drive me crazy, because that ended up being a 13-point swing, because they went down the field, scored a touchdown, missed an extra point. I understand. Guy was on the couch a couple weeks ago. That's fine. Giving you production. But I am curious if teams start paying him more attention, his production.
If they start paying him more attention, though, like, that means that they're paying less attention to, like, Xavier Worthy or Travis Kelce. So,
yeah.
Like, I think at this point now, it's like, it's a matter of, like, it's kind of pick your poison deal. And I think teams are probably going to let Juju eat and hope that his knee just doesn't hold up. But, you know, so we'll see about that. I still think, and I think we're both in agreement, they should probably go get another receiver not named MVS. I think MVS probably goes with a practice squad, but I do think the Chiefs, if Pretty Ricky is correct and they go get either Calvin Ridley or Deontay Johnson, my preference is Deontay Johnson.
He usually is correct. And here's the one, you with me on running back? I think this year they're not going to be shy about running backs, because Clyde was taking the first round. I don't think they're going to take a first round running back, not at all.
No, they're not going to do that.
Mid round, can they get some? I think they're going to get someone before Pacheco. Pacheco was in the 7th round. I think they go, they have 2 3rd round picks. We'll see what they do, but I think running back.
If the Chiefs keep,
it's got to be pass pro. It's got to be a pass pro running back, or he's not going to be a part of the team.
If the Chiefs keep both 3rd round picks, I think they use one of them on a running back. Like, I can see a Caleb Johnson. To me, like, Caleb Johnson's the guy I think you look at.
Yep.
I think, like, Caleb Johnson is a guy I think could be a 3rd round steal, because I think he fits what the Chiefs would like to do. Like, He's more of a, he'll lower his shoulder and run into you, and the Chiefs like that. He can pass pro. So I could definitely see him being that guy. Otherwise, I think it's a 4th round. I think 4th round running back. But I do think, mid-round running back, for sure. I advocated for it this past draft, 4th round, Isaac Grindo. Go get you a guy that, you know, with his size and his speed, because he was like a 4.37 guy, like, you're getting something.
And then look at Kareem Hunt was out there and available.
Yeah,
and not, I mean, Kareem, it really limits Kareem your opportunities. Kinda,
he's starting to look like what he did before he left Kansas City. So
everyone's like, "Yeah, should we drift the running back or not?" You know?
Yeah, no, I still think I think they'll, if Kareem wants to come back, I think they bring him back as long as he's productive.
Everything
but I still
in
think,
the NFL is cyclical. I used to be team running back. Now I'm okay. You can get him in the later rounds. This is a year.
This is a really good running back draft class.
He's got some game changers.
This is a really good running back draft class, and there's just, like, I don't think it's a great edge class. I think it's a good edge class, but I don't think it's a great edge class. I think, like, if you want to get some good rotational guys, I think you can do that. But, like, defensive tackle class, I think it's not quite as good as I thought it was at the beginning of the year. Yeah. And
I thought that might have been the deepest class going in.
Right. I don't think it's a great corner class. I think it's a decent corner class. I don't think it's a great safety class. It's a decent safety class. But, like, for real, I think receivers,
tight end,
like running backs, I think tight ends, that's where you
tight make deeper than it was last year and the year before, in my opinion.
Right. I think you make your money in the draft doing that.
Yeah, I think positions. So too. And running backs definitely on the table. But here's the thing with running backs. When you're watching these running backs, we talked a lot about running backs today, is pass protection and can you catch the football? Because those are two main ingredients to getting on the field for Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Yes, obviously, if you're drafting, you're going to be a good running back as far as running, but can you pass protect? Were you asked to pass protect? And can you catch the football? Those are two big, big things when it comes to running back, because they want the whole package.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's really where
they're looking at. Of course, the reason he's on this team is, he's a good running back, but he can block and he can catch.
Yeah, he can catch. And that was the only
fumbles are a problem. But
fumbles are a problem. That's the reason why he's lost his spot. But, I do think, running back is going to be a position of priority mid-round in the draft. Like I said, if they keep both threes, I think they go one running back there. If not, 4th round is where they go. And even if it's 4th round, I still think there's a lot of good running backs you can go get on day 3. I'm really excited about that. So thanks for listening to us. We're back after a couple weeks off. We will continue this. We'll be back next week. For Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Osero. We appreciate you taking your time out of your day to listen to us. Make sure you download, subscribe, wherever you listen. We appreciate you. We'll catch you guys next week.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.